holding on Memphis on the bays by the two dots, eight lines from the top. The mission I've discussed is a three-way machloikus. What kind of unions produce a mamzer? We had Rabbi Akiva said that any chayv lavin, and then within that in the Gemara we had three different possibilities what he meant, what he means by that. Either he only means chayv lavin involving relatives, for example, the various arayas that it says in the Torah, or it meant any kind of chayv lavin, or it meant even according to Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, it meant even chayv esse, even when it's only a mitzvah esse, not to marry such a person. Then we had Shimon Atimni, who says only if it's an Isur Karnis or Mrs. Beiskin, and we had Rabbi Yeshua, who says only Mrs. Beiskin. So the Mishnah had quoted Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai Chula, that he said, I have proof from a Megillah Yuchsin that they found in Yerushalayim that said that so-and-so is a mamzer from an Eishes Ish. The fact that they had to add the word from an Eishes Ish implies that it's only from somebody who's Chayiv Mrs. Beiskin, which is like what Rabbi Yeshua said. This is what expands on it. Tani, we learn in a Braisa, Shimon ben Azayim, Matzasim Megillas Yuchsin b'Yerushalayim, I found a Megillas Yuchsin in Yerushalayim. V'kasuv ba, ish poini mamzim eishes ish. It said in it that so-and-so is a mamzim from eishes ish, which, as he said in the Mishnah, that proves Rabbi Yeshua's point. V'kasuv ba, and it also said in this Megillas Yuchsin something else. It said, Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, kav v'naki. The teachings of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov are kav, meaning a small amount, v'naki, but they're pure. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, relatively speaking, is not mentioned that many times in Shas compared to many of the other Tanoim. But v'naki, in that the halacha is always like him, almost always. At least before we discuss how extensive is this rule, or whether are there any exceptions to it. One interesting possibility is actually that there are actually two Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovs. It seems based on various sources that there is a Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who lived through the Churban. He's the one who the Gemara mentions in Yoma wrote Masechta Midos. And then there's a later Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who was a chaver of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Hoda and Rabbi Yossi and that generation. Which one are we talking about over here? I mean, if they found this in Yerushalayim, the pastor it refers to the first one. But that itself could explain why it is that sometimes we find indeed the halacha is not like him. So that's the thing we said there that because the choice was coined on the Mishnah because the point is from that statement if it was just that a mamzer could be from a lav or whatever it wouldn't have needed the same eishes ish. Just plainly mamzer, period. Who cares why he's a mamzer? The fact that they have to specify eishes ish shows that it's only chiyuv mitzvah. And then Tosfos discusses so why do they have to mention eishes ish? And we said because eishes ish is in a way more lenient than the other one. It's only chenek. There's a heter for it if she's divorced or her husband dies. Once we say eishes ish, then it implies all the other mitzvahs basically.
That happens to be a mamzer. They found it written.
No, but the point is, they wouldn't have bothered writing Me'eshes Ish unless obviously they knew that there was a machloikas on this subject, and they wanted, whoever wrote this, Megillas Yochanan wanted to imply that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yeshua.
What would they have written?
Just so they would have written it, the mamzer, yeah. Anyway, so this Megillas Yochanan also said that Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kav V'naki. It's an interesting idea that some Mephoshim point out, Kav is V'gematria Kuf Beis, 102, and that's the number of times Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is mentioned in Shas. So in that sense, it's Kav. We don't know whether it's the one from the Churban or the later one. It could be a combination of both, but whatever, anyway. Because of one, then there was a third thing written in this Megillah. Menashe Horeges Yeshaya. King Menashe killed Yeshaya Hanavi, who was his grandfather. Now, why are these three things together in the same Megillah? So the Aruch HaNeir explains because all these three things have to do with Yuchsin. The one about the Mamzer, that teaches us an important din about Mamzeres. The one about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a day of his, the shita of his in Kedushin, about a kohen being allowed to marry the child of a ger and a geyoris, where the kohenim were noyig like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So therefore, this Megillas Yochanan points out you should know that in the, that the halacha is like him. And the third thing, Menashe, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a kohen cannot marry the child of a ger and geyoris. It has to be that the woman he marries has to have one parent who's Jewish.
That's the halacha.
That's the halacha, yeah. And then the third one about Menashe killing Yeshaya. We know the story from Brachos that Yeshaya comes to Chizkiah and tells him, you're going to die, you know, you're going to lose your Olam Haba as well because you never married and you never had children. Chizkiah tells him, okay, let me marry. I see that I'm going to have improvised, that I'm going to have bad children, Menashe. Yeshaya says, you don't mix into Nebuchadnezzar's business. So Chizkiah says, okay, let me marry your daughter, and et cetera. And so sure enough, Chizkiah recovered, as we're going to talk about soon, and he had, and later on, he married Yeshaya's daughter, and their son was indeed Menashe. The vort is, this Megillas Yochsin wants to point out, realize the importance of Yochsin. In this case, Chizkiah knew that he's going to have children who are no good. Yeshaya should have said to Chizkiah, you know what, you want to get married, good, go ahead. You're not marrying my daughter. Yeshaya said to him, fine, you can marry my daughter, and we see what came out of it. So therefore, that was...
If he had said that, he would have gone against his own argument to Chizkiah.
Right, telling Chizkiah, you haven't married, you haven't had children.
Right.
Ah, you want to marry my daughter? Very nice, you want to marry my daughter. I don't want you to. I have a better chosen. The fact that he didn't, the fact that he allowed Chizkiah to marry his daughter, knowing that their child was going to end up being a Rosha, because after all, he's not arguing with Chizkiah, who eventually ends up killing him, yet. So that teaches us also a lesson about Yochsin. Well, that was what Chizkiah argued. No, we're not saying that this wasn't. I mean, Chizkiah wasn't a Navi either. He said, "I can see with Ruach HaKodesh." You're right. Obviously, it could be changed, but it means at least that the child is going to have a tendency towards being a Rosha. Yeah. Anyway,
so,
Amar Rava. Well, not necessarily in this case. I mean, in other cases, it could be. Amar Rava, Meidan Dine Vakatle. What actually happened? It's not just that Menashe went one day and just killed Yeshaya out of the blue. He actually judged him as a no good Navi for Katle, and he killed him on that basis. Namely, he was arguing that Yeshaya, as I was going to say now, he wanted to argue that Yeshaya is a false Navi. Because we know one of the criteria for a true Navi is that a Navi is not allowed to contradict what it says in the Torah. On a temporary basis, he can suspend a halacha, but he can't contradict what it says in the Torah. And Menashe is arguing, you're contradicting Amalei. He says to him, Moshe Rabcha Amakilo Yirani Adavachai. The Torah says you can't see Hashem and live. But you said, Va'eras Hashem Yeshiva Kisid Ramanisa. I saw Hashem sitting on a high and lofty throne. Another one, Moshe Rabbeinu Amamika Hashem Alekeinu B'chol Kareinu Eilav. I mean, the Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah, who is like Hashem whenever who's close to us whenever we call out to him. You're saying, seek out Hashem when he can be found, implying that there are certain times when you can find Hashem, certain times when you can't. And a third one, the Torah says that the Eved promises that if you do what you're supposed to do, I will fill up the years of your life, meaning there's a certain amount of time, that a certain number of years that a person is destined when he's first born, and that's it. That's the maximum lifespan a person can live. And you said to Chizkiah, you said that the Eved is saying that I'm going to add 15 years to your life. He's arguing on all this basis, then you're a Navi Sheker. Actually, the Aruch HaNer points out that this last one was mainly what Menashe was after. He was upset with Yeshaya. You're telling me, he's saying to Yeshaya, that originally my father was not supposed to have lived so long, and then he added, and then they just added 15 years, which means you're effectively saying I shouldn't have been born. Menashe was only 12 when he became king. He was born after this whole story with Chizkiah being sick. So he's arguing to Yeshaya, how you talking? According to the Torah, my father Lachatchila was supposed to live out however long he lived, 54 years. And where you're claiming that Lachatchila was only nigs on him to live 39 years, in which case you're saying I should have never been born, and he's upset at him with that.
What did Yeshaya
say? Wait. Omer Yeshaya, so Yeshaya says, I'm not going to answer him. Yadayna Bejaloi Makabal Ma De'emalei. I know this Menashe. I know this character. He's not going to listen to what I answer him. The E'emalei, and if I try to answer him, and he's going to go and try to kill me anyway, Eshav Yamezid, what am I going to accomplish? Sakhakol, he's going to try to kill me no matter what. All that's going to happen is he's going to be even worse off. He's going to be amazed now. At least like this, he can claim, maybe in his own mind, maybe to the Sanhedrin or whatever, that he's doing it because he's killing a Navi Sheker as a legitimate thing. Like this, if I answer him and show that I'm not contradicting the Torah, and that I'm a Navi Emes, and he goes and kills me anyway, then he's doing it for Mazid. Then his punishment is going to be even worse. So instead of answering him, he figured, let me just run away. Amar Shem, so Menashe, not Menashe, Yeshaya said a shame of the Eved Shem. and he was swallowed up into a cedar tree. He was hiding inside the tree.
Who's Shem?
The Shem of Abishai, of course. Afyula Arza, but the people figured out which tree it was, and they brought this cedar tree, Venasura, and they started sawing it to get him. Kimatala Adi Puma, when the saw came from his mouth, knock napshay, then he passed away. The Rishalmi in Sanhedrin tells the story, because in the discussion over there about the Shlosh Malachim Ba'aba had Yotis that lost the Chelis Ba'am Haba, one of them is Menashe, the Rishalmi tells the story also with a little bit of variation. One detail the Rishalmi says over there is, how did they figure out which cedar tree it is? They saw his tzitzis sticking out of it. And so the Ben Yehoyada says, why was Yeshaya done in by his tzitzis? Why didn't his tzitzis get hidden as well? The gist of his answer is, tzitzis represent the idea that we're children of the Eibishter. And we wear tzitzis on the front and the back to represent that whether we're going towards the Eibishter or Chas V'Shalom away, nevertheless, we're always still the Eibishter's children. He explains that on each corner of the tzitzis, you have the famous five knots and eight strings. We're all familiar with what? Ben Yoyada is the author of Kappa Chaim, Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim of Baghdad. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, the Ben Yishchai. Thank you. The vort is, we know on each corner of the tzitzis you have five knots and eight strings. That's the famous thing that we always say, that you add that together with the gematria of tzitzis and you get 613. But another way of looking at it is also, that means there's 13 on each corner. 13 times 4 is 52, which is the gematria of ben. And the fact that you have them in front and behind shows that we're always the Eibishter's children, whether we're in front of him or whether we're backsliding. Yeshaya, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, said something derogatory many years earlier about the Jewish people, implying as if like they're not the Eibishter's children. Therefore, he ended up getting betrayed by his tzitzis sticking out. Ben. So why his mouth? Mishum da'omar, because he had said at the beginning of the Nevuah, it's an after of Yisroel, v'soch amt meis v'sayim anoich yoshev. He says, vei is mir, I'm seeing the Shechina, how am I going to survive that? He says, I'm tmeis v'sayim, and then v'soch amt meis v'sayim anoich yoshev. I'm living among a people of unclean lips. That's a derogatory thing to say about the Jewish people, unnecessarily. And therefore, even if it's true, and therefore he was done in eventually by his mouth. Okay, so that's the end of the story. So the question still is, Mikol Mokum, Kosher Kroy Adadi. Okay, Taka, what about the theater of the Pesukim? Maybe doesn't Menashe have a point? What Yeshaya is saying I could have answered. What Taka are the answers? So one thing is, Tosfos points out, as far as the first one, about the Kehila Yirani Ha'adavachai and the Ve'eret Hashem, okay, we have another pasuk in the Torah itself. Yeshaya could have told Menashe, look, in the Torah itself, you have Vayiru Eselakei Yisrael, when they went up to the Mount Torah, it says they saw the Shina. Do you see? It's not a blanket statement that you can't see the Eibishter.
Yeah, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu.
That's it. Vayeru Okay, but there you could explain that the Ramban that it's Malach. But the Vayeru is like Yisrael is about as clear as it gets. Vayeru
Hashem is a Malach.
Vayeru Hashem. The Ramban explains that means whether the fact that the Malachim visited him, that's the Vayeru Elav Hashem. That the Malachim appeared to him, and Malachim can be called sometimes by the Eibishter's name because they're serving as Eibishter's shliach.
One you mentioned.
This by Yeru SLK Yisrael. Oh, we're talking about by Mount Torah. There's no Malachim involved. Anyway. Okay, so what's Taka the answer? So Ve'eretz Hashem is Kedetanya. What does it mean when Yeshaya says, I saw Hashem? As we learn in a Braisa, Kol Nevi'im Nistaklu V'Espaklaria She'en Amira. All the other Nevi'im looked through an unclear Espaklaria. Different explanations what an Espaklaria is. It means a mirror, or it means a glass, or whatever it is. It means like they had an unclear vision of the Eibishter. Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel b'spaklaria meira. Only Moshe Rabbeinu saw an undistorted vision of the Eibishter. Famous, we
talk. Not the direct one.
No, so even Moshe could only see v'yoseh at the Torah, because even Moshe Rabbeinu was still a human being. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the Rambam described it as Derech Marshall, that it's like the Moshe Rabbeinu got to see, like you not like you get to see somebody's face and you know them intimately. Even Moshe couldn't have that with Eibishter, but at least like Kaviyachol, like you know the shape of somebody, like you can pick them out of a crowd. That's how Moshe was with Eibishter. Whereas the other Nevi'im aren't even that. The other Nevi'im are like they see something unclearly. The Rambam, they see what they see in a dream, they see it as a marshal, etc.
What do they
I don't know what they see, but they're malachim. That's different. I mean, they also don't see the Eibishter himself. No, that's why they that we learned in Chagiga. That's why they tremble and they realize how much there is that they don't even see, and even what they do see is So anyway, when Yeshaya says Va'eretz Hashem, he doesn't mean he sees him at the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu does, but he sees him the way that the other Nevi'im see. Next, the Dirshu Hashem B'Imatzai. What about that the Moshe Rabbeinu says that the Eibishter is always accessible and Yeshaya says only sometimes? Hobbit Yachid, Hobbit Tzibur. So Yeshaya is talking about a Yachid. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the Tzibur. Yachid Eimatz. Okay, so for Yachid, what is the B'Imatzai? When is the time when the Eibishter is most accessible? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba, Eva, Asari Yom, Shemaine, Shon, Yom, Kippurim. Doing that, Tzibur.
That
really
was not known to Rav Nachman.
Not that Menashe didn't know, but you could say he pretended he didn't know. Actually, in the back of the art school Divrei HaYomim, they have an interesting idea that all these three things that Menashe is asking about, Menashe was Dochad Ovid Avodah Zarah. I mean, the Gemara mentions in Menachos that the Ovid Avodah Zarah of those days, it's not that they didn't believe there's no Eibishter. They're just Kodulei Alekodei Alekaya. They thought of the Eibishter as removed from anything having to do with human affairs. Menashe thought, or at least wanted to think, the same way. So therefore, he's arguing to Yeshaya based on three psukim, where all the ones in the Torah seem to imply that Eibishter only concerns himself with the tzibur, not really with the yachid. Whereas the Eibishter has no human being has a shaychus with the Eibishter. Nobody can see him. Whereas you're claiming an individual can have a shaychus with the Eibishter. And so with the other ones also, you're saying Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the Eibishter listens to the tzibur. Fine, but the yachid the Eibishter couldn't care less about. Whereas you're saying the Eibishter cares about the yachid. There's a certain time, behimasa, and so with the third one also. What about the Esmisba Yamecha Amale? That's Tanoi. That's actually the Machloek of Tanoim, what the Pasuk means Esmisba Yamecha Amale. It's a Tanya. We learn in a Braisa. When it says Esmisba Yamecha Amale, that the Eibishter says, I will fill up the year, the number of your days, Elu Shnei Doris. This refers to the years of the generations that a person is destined when he's born. Zocha Mashlim in Lai. If he's Zocha, then he lives out that full time that he was originally destined. Loi Zocha Pochsin Lai. And if not, then he loses out some of that time. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the amount that you're given at when you're born or when you're conceived or whatever, that's it. That's the maximum. You can't go above that. It's not about a question of halacha. I mean, it's how the Eibishter runs the world. Yeah. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. If a person, let's say, was destined to live 100 years, but if they're not zecha, then they're only going to live 80 years, Lamashal. No. If a person is zocha, then there can be added more than what he was destined originally. And if not, I know that it'll be taken away from him. Yep. So the esmis b'yamecha amale, in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, esmis b'yamecha amale means very straightforward. The number of your days that was destined, l'chatchila, I will fill up. As opposed to, according to the Chachamim, amale means I will add to what you were originally destined. Okay.
So what is that? What come in or to?
Yeah, I guess you could say either one. I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, you could argue that those 20 years in jail are not really life. I don't know. Omru lo Rabbi Akiva. So the Chum said to Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? We find by Chizkiyahu that the Eibishter tells him, I will add 15 years to your life. Is Mashma, originally he was destined to live only 39 years. Now he's being added 15 and he lives to 54. So there you go. You're actually added. Amalahem Mishaloi Sifalois. Rabbi Akiva tells him, no, those years were originally destined for him lachatchila. Because he wasn't getting married, because he wasn't doing period of Arabia, the Eibishter was going to take away 15 years from his life. Now that he did tshuva, now that he ended up marrying, then he got back those 15 years that he would have lost.
But it's all originally
from his own years. Incidentally, one of the Mefarshim talks about, we learned in Chagiga that there can be a case, you have a Talmud Chacham who's Mavad Amidosev, who's like willing to forego an insult to him, can actually be added life from somebody else's years. We talked about the case over there where the Malach HaMavet took the wrong person, and we said that he takes that person's years, the extra years that that person should have lived, and gives them to a Talmud Chacham who's Mavad Amidosev. Why can't we say Chizkiyah got that? And the answer is, Chizkiyah was a very big Talmud Chacham, but he was not Mavir al Midosev, because we find in that story in Brachos that actually, why is it that up until now, Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya never met? Because all this time, Chizkiyahu was always saying, look, I'm the king, he has to give covet to me. If Yeshaya wants to see me, let him come to me. Whereas Yeshaya was always arguing that, no, Chizkiyahu, I'm the Navi. If Chizkiyahu needs me, he should come to me. So the Eibishter arranged that Chizkiyahu got sick, and then Yeshaya came to him in Vakasoyla. We see Chizkiyahu was not Mavir al Midosev, so he couldn't have benefited from that thing. Okay, but still, you know, we find at the end of Makkos, that it was Yoy Shofat, when a Talmid Chacham came to him, he would get up and hug him and kiss him and call him Rebbe and give him a place of honor, etc. Yeah, Chizkiyah, Stama could have done something like that also. Teda, the Chachamim say, I can prove it to you that, not the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva says, I can prove to you that L'chatchila, he was originally destined to live those extra 15 years in which he had a child. Sharei Navi Omer Masnabi, because hundreds of years earlier, a Navi is going and saying a Nevuah to Yerubam. The story is over there, Yerubam is going and bringing a korban in Basil on his Mizbeach by the Egle Azov. And a Navi comes and says, Hine Bein Nelel Beis David Yeshiyahu Shmoi, behold, there's going to be a child born to Beis David named Yeshiyahu, and he's going to pull out all the bones of all these people who worshipped on these altars to the Getchkes and burn them on the altars. And what's the point? Vadayim lo nolad Menashe. Menashe hadn't even been born yet when Chizkiyahu got sick. You're telling me that the Eibishter originally destined him to live only 39 years, which means he would have died childless. Then how would this Nevuah ever have been the same? Obviously, it means the Eibishter originally intended him to live to 54, by which time he'd have children, by which time he'd have Menashe, and then Yeshiyahu was Menashe's grandson. V'Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, so what? Mitziv Nechizkiyah? Doesn't say Davka that Yeshiyahu is going to be Chizkiyahu's descendant. L'Beis David, Ksiv. It just says he's going to be descended from Beis David. Nechizkiyah, no, that he means Yeshachrina. Could have been from Chizkiyah, could have been from somebody else. If Chizkiyahu died before having any children, at 39, like the Chacham was saying that he was originally destined to, before the Eibishter added him to 15 years, then yeah, you know, a brother or a cousin or whatever would have taken over the kingship, and Yeshiyahu would have been descended from him.
It doesn't prove anything.
So it doesn't prove anything one way or the other, yeah. The Mishnah had finished off, Ishta Shemesav Chula, Yuvimta Shemesav Chula. The Mishnah had mentioned various cases where a person's wife dies, or where you're allowed to marry her sister. We said that also if you divorced her and then later she died, or if she married somebody else and later she died, and then we had similar cases with the Yavama. Amar of Yosef, Kan Shana Rabbi Mishnah Shainitzricha. Here Rabbi taught a Mishnah that's not really necessary. Meaning, Rashi says the Mishnah didn't really need to tell us about that a wife's sister is mutter after the wife dies. It says so in the Pasuk. You don't need the Mishnah for it. Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos says, so what? Sometimes you have a Mishnah that repeats what it says in a Pasuk just because it's rounding out things. Tosfos says the extra thing that we're saying over here is the part about the Yavama. Once we mention that a wife's sister is mutter after she dies, there's no question. Yavama's sister is mutter after the Yavama dies. But so what's the reason for the Mishnah Shein? You want to make the Torah greater. Hadron alacha chaylet. Now we're getting back to Yibum and Chalitza stuff.
Diagrams.
Now, we've talked about up until now, you have Minat Torah, the two things that a Yavam and a Yavama do with each other are either Yibum or either Bia, which accomplishes Yibum, or Chalitza, which then she's free to go off and marry whoever she wants. Midrabanan, we've talked about before, that you have two other things. You have Maimer and you have Get. You have Maimer, which is the equivalent of Kiddushin, and you have a Get, where instead of giving her Chalitza, you give her a Get. Our perek, are going to be talking about all kinds of permutations of those things, all kinds of permutations where you did more than one of those things in various orders, and how that affects what you have to do after that point. The point is now one thing. I mean, we've said before, Maimer according to most of the Tanoim is only midrabanan, is only effective midrabanan, and it does not make a full misruin. We talked about whether it even makes the equivalent of Eretzin, but whatever, it certainly doesn't make full Nisuin. It certainly is not Mekayim, the Mitzvah, and Atorah of Yivum. Similarly, a Get, if the Yavam gives the Yavama a Get, it has certain effects, Midrabanan. Atorah would have no effect at all. Midrabanan, it has certain effects, but still, the Zikr is there, and you still have to do Chalitza. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's the thing. That's what we're going to talk about. What exactly he accomplishes. Basically, what you accomplish by giving a Get is you're accomplishing negative things. You're accomplishing at this point afterwards, you cannot give this woman, or Tzara, we'll talk about that, a Yibum anymore. At that point, the only thing you can do is Chalitza. Also, it accomplishes that you are also to marry any of her relatives just as if she was your Gerusha. Just as if she was your fully married wife, or not fully married, whatever, a regular Arusa or Nasua, and you'd given her a Get.
Where's the Chalitza?
Chalitza also, you're also in her relatives, okay, but so the Get, even though you're going to have to later do Chalitza as well, the Get already accomplishes that. Rabbi Gamliel loymer, ein get acha get, v'loy maimer acha maimer, v'loy d'ila acha b'ila, v'loy chalitza acha chalitza. Any of these things, if you have, for example, so now you can have a case like this. Suppose you have a person has two yevamos. You have one brother had two wives. Well, one brother had two wives, a wife and a tzara, as we talk about all this time. And you do now. What happens? You give a get to one of the wives, and then you and then you give a get to the other one. Now, if you gave a get to only one of them, then there's no question that makes all her relatives also to you at that point. First of all, it means you can't do yivum with her anymore. Second of all, it means that all her relatives are now also to you. What happens, though, Rabbi Gamliel was saying, what happens?
She's independent wives.
Why are relatives?
Because midrabanan would consider a get in this case as the same as a get as if they had really been married, as if it wasn't a matter of zika, as if it was an actual marriage.
In other words, you can't marry her sister.
Right. Exactly. Right. And we'll talk about it on Amud Beis in the Gemara, why the Chachamim made this takana. Anyway, so the point is, what happens over here? You gave a get to each of the two women. Rabbi Gamliel is arguing, ein get acha get, meaning the second get has no effect. Meaning, you are not also to marry that second woman's relatives, the second one that you gave the get to. Because once you gave the get to the first one, then that already took away a certain degree of the zikah. Actually, we'll talk about in the Gemara.
Even though the women are not related.
Even though they're not related, but they're both mebayis echad, and you can only do yibum with one of them, or if you do chalitza with one, it patters the other. Therefore, a get is strong enough that the get to one is strong enough that it breaks the zikah with both. Not completely breaks the zikah. You're still going to need chalitza, but at least it breaks it to the extent that if now you give a get to the other one, that get has no effect. It's like giving a get to just an unrelated to a woman who's unrelated to you.
There's nothing remaining once you gave the get
to the first one. To the first one. There still is a zika remaining. But at this point, when you give a get to the second one, that get has no effect. Similarly, loy maimer acha maimer. Similarly, if you do maimer with two different yivamos. And actually, Rashi points out over here with Maimer Acha Maimer, you can have more than one case. You can have it's one Yavam and two Yavamas, or you can have two Yavamim and one Yavama. Whatever it is, you have, let's say, you know, one Yavam gives a Maimer to each of the two Yavamas, each of these two wives. We're saying the second Maimer has no effect.
Now we're saying the second get has no effect, and the second Maimer has no effect because the first get and the first Maimer
have already accomplished whatever they're supposed to accomplish. Yeah.
What's the outcome of that? Mimer twice.
So he does mimer to two. When he does mimer to the second one, that does not passel the first one. He can still go ahead and do yibum with the first one, and the second one is not going to need a get from him. And also, he's not also in her relatives.
I need to ask a basic question.
Okay.
No,
if they're from two different brothers, you have to do yibum and chalitza with both of them. There's separate zikas. We're talking about over here. These two yivamas are from one brother. One brother was married to two different women.
What if he wasn't married at all? Was he married to
me? No, that's what we said. We said before. We said in the previous parak, bayis echad hu boina veina boina shnei batim. You can only marry one or the other. No, yibum with one and nothing with the other, actually. We talked about that, and the Gemara had asked why weren't the Chacham and the Sakan that you do Chalitza with the second one, and we said the reason is, and we said because what would happen then if you do Chalitza first with the one, you can't do yibum with the other one at that point. Then it would be an Yisra Daraisa to do yibum with the other one. But because of that, the Chacham didn't want to be Mesakin to do Chalitza with the second one at all.
Okay, so you do yibum with the person and marry her, and then
the and then that's it, the other one is free. So, yeah, so here you did Maimer with both of them, or, again, you could have a case where there's two Yevamim, two brothers. You had Reuven died, Shimon and Levi are left. Both of them give Maimer to his one wife. Once Shimon does Maimer, Levi's Maimer has no effect, because already, at that point, she's sort of an Eshes Ish. V'loy be'ila acha be'ila. Similarly, there's no bia of yibum one after the other. Meaning, if he did yibum with one of the women, and then he or his brother did bia with the other one, then it's just nuth. It's not considered any kind of yibum. He doesn't become also in any of her relatives at that point.
There's a child is not
No, we talked about whether the child from that would be mamzer. We said yesterday, that no, akol moedim by that well by shemeres yavam that no by shemeres yavam actually we said akol moedim that ain't a blood mamzer. Actually, we said it's really a machlokes. It's a machlokes. Rav and Shmuel. Here we're talking about something else. Actually, here we're talking about once yibum was done with one of them, we had a machlokes Rabbi Yechonon and Rish Lakish whether he or any of the other brothers whether there's going to be an issur kares involved over here in having relations with any of the other wives or any of the other brothers having with any of the other wives. And v'loy chalitza acha chalitza, and similarly you do chalitza with one of the women, then the chalitza you do with the other one has no effect. V'chachamim, yesh get acha get, the chachamim say no, if you do one get after the other, both of them do have an effect, in the sense that, for example, now both of their relatives are also to you. V'yesh maimer acha maimer, and there can be one maimer after another. Same idea. You did maimer with both of the women, and now both of their relatives are also to you, and neither one can do yibum with at this point.
You accomplished something,
but according to the Chama, you didn't accomplish. But the Chama saying you didn't accomplish enough. Maimer is only effective to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are saying over here, we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow the exact reasons behind what the Rabbanan and Rav Gamliel are saying. But basically, the basic way of looking at it is that the mimer has a certain effect, but not a full effect. You still when you did the first mimer, there is still a zikah to the second one, the Daraisa, and when you do mimer to her, all that accomplishes in the Rabbanan. Now you strengthen your zikah to her, but at the expense of your zikah to the first one.
Which you cannot do
zikah. And now you can't do yibum with her anymore, and vice versa. Avaloy acha be'ilo v'loy acha chalitza. But neither of these things takes effect after be'ilo or after chalitza. Meaning, since be'ilo or chalitza are effective midaraisa, anything you do after them has no effect. Ketzad. Osam maimer b'ivim. So if he does maimer, he does kedushin with his yivama, and then v'nosam lo get, and then at that point he gave her a get. Which the assumption is when we say he gave her a get, then the way that Rashi understands is that he gave her a get without specifying whether it's meant to undo the mimer or whether it's meant to undo the zikah, which we've talked about before and we'll talk about later on, that there can actually be two different kinds of get. There's get l'mamorei, where you've undone the mimer and in theory you've gotten back to the original status quo, or there can be a get mizikase where you're actually giving a get, having in mind as if it's going to break the zika, and it doesn't midaraita, of course, but it does to a certain extent midrabanan.
In addition to the mimer.
Well, he did mimer, and then he did get. And he did get mizikase, right.
So he destroys the zika.
Sort of, yeah. But here we're talking about where he gave her a get to undo the mimer. Then she needs chalitza from him, because at that point, having given her a get, that get, well, actually, so the thing is, he gave her the get stam, that's what we're saying.
Without saying anything.
Therefore, the get is not just l'mamore, it's also l'zikase. And having broken the zika, at least midrabanan, then now he can't do yibum with her anymore. He still has to break the zika midarai, so therefore he needs chalitza. Also, maimer v'chalitza. If he did maimer and then he did chalitza, tzrichay menu get. Then midrabanan, she also still needs a get because the chalitza has taken away the zika, but you still need a get to undo the maimer. Also maimer rabal. What if he did maimer and then he did and then he did bila? How is it kumatvasa? That's the proper way of doing things. Which we'll talk about in the Gemara, whether that's really the best way of doing things. But for right now, let's assume that at that point, yeah, there's no question they need a get because at that point he's done yibum. Yeah. Nosam get va'osam maimer. What if first he gave her a get and then he did maimer? That even Rav Gamliel agrees. Tzrich get v'chalitza. Then there's no question that she needs a get for the mimer, and she needs chalitza. You can't, since you gave her a get to begin with, even according to Rav Gamliel, that has an effect. Therefore, at that point, you can't do yibum with her, midrabanan. Therefore, you have to do chalitza. But you also need a get in order to dispose of the mimer.
The get that she gave.
So the original get that you gave breaks the zika. breaks the zika, midrabanan. The second get that you give breaks the maimon. Nasan getter ball, what happens? He gave her a get, and then he married her, then he had relations with her. Tzricha get b'chalitza. Then again, she's going to need a get. She's going to need a get to undo the bia. The bia was also the bia was at this point there was an issur of lo yivna on it, and. So the thing is that when he gave her a get, at that point that broke zika to the extent that at least midrabanan now he's not allowed to marry her. At this point the lo yivna thing applied, the issur of lo yivna, and now at this point if he does bia with her, then she needs a get in order to undo that. Right. So the bia effectively, even though it's a bias issur, it had an effect as if it was a bia with a regular nesua. Therefore, she needs a get from that. But she still needs chalitza to take care of the original zika.
Does she need chalitza first or get first?
Sounds like maybe it doesn't matter, but I don't know. Rashi points out the Gemara is going to end up explaining that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin are not tofus by chayve lavin. If this woman is offered to him under a lav, under the lav of Asher Le'yivne, then what are we saying you need a get for the bia? Kiddushin weren't tofus. The answer is here we're talking about he only gave her a get in the originally. If he had done chalitza originally and then did bia, then yes, Rabbi Akiva would hold kiddushin are not tofus, because now she's offered midaraisa under Asher Le'yivne. Because he only gave her a get originally, which is only effective midrabanan, that doesn't break the zika to the extent that midaraisa, you can't say kiddushin aren't tofus. Therefore, kedushin are tofus. Therefore, he needs to give her a get to undo that.
Yeah, the get, the kedushin are not tofus only in the case of.
He said by chayv elavin. That's what we had in the Mishnah at the end of the previous parak.
Right.
Nothing get v'cholat. What happens if he gave her a get and then he did chalitza? Then einach chalitza kulum. Then nothing more is needed after chalitza. Even though Rashi points out, now this is called a chalitza psula, meaning it's not a real chalitza kshera would be where he was able to do yibum and instead he chose to do chalitza. Here it's a chalitza psula because once he gave the get, midrabanan, he can't do yibum anymore. Nevertheless, though, it's still an effective chalitza. Right? And
it breaks.
Because it completely breaks the zika. Which, this enachareya klum also means that at that point, Kedushin won't be topus. That's why the Gemara explains that our mission has to be according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Eina Chareya Klum implies there's no possibility of them ever getting married and Kedushin being effective after that. That could only be according to Rabbi Akiva. According to everybody else, true Kedushin could still be topus. It's an Isu Lav, Asher Lo Yivne, but so what? If he gave her Chalitza, then there's an Isu Lav, Asher Lo Yivne. Kivin Shle Bona Shuv Lo Yivne. We said once he chose not to build her up, meaning to marry her, then he can't come back. He can't. No, you're not allowed to remarry your chalutza. That's the thing.
It's allowed
to marry the chalutza herself. The relative we said is also midrabanan, according to most of the Tanoim. We said according to Rabbi Akiva, no, but according to everybody else, yes. So that's what we mean. Einach chalitza klum, meaning that after the chalitza, there's never a possibility that he's going to have to do anything else with her. There's never a possibility he's going to have to give her a get, because even if he's mekadesh her afterwards, the kedushin are not chal.
So in other words, it wasn't a good chalitza. Was it?
Yes, that's what we're saying. Even though it was after a get, even though it was a chalitza psula, it's still an effective chalitza because it's effective midaraisa. And the only thing is, Mefarshim talk about the issue we did have before in the Masechta. We have the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Chalitza Psula, about if you have a Chalitza Psula, whether all the brothers have to do a Chalitza in order to break the Zika or not. So here we could say that here we're not really getting into that. We're saying that Einach HaChalitza Klum, we're not really getting into do any of the other brothers need to do Chalitza as well. Okay. Another case, the third line from the bottom, chalatzva of the maimer. What happens if he did chalitza and then he did maimer with the same woman? Or nasan getu baal, or what happens if he gave her a get and then he had relations with her? Oy baal of the maimer, or yet another case, he did bi'ila, he did yibum, and then he did maimer. Or nasan get the chalat, or fourth case, he gave her a get and then he did chalitza. In all those cases, einach chalitza klum. That's it. After chalitza, there's nothing else to talk about.
sense according to Rabbi Akiva.
That would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Well, according to the Chachamim, Ein Achachalitza Klum would just mean there's nothing else needs to be done at this point. If you were to remarry her afterwards, though, then of course they need a get. According to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Achachalitza Klum means that nothing can ever happen after any of these things.
Married.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't
yeah.
feel anything.
Right. Yeah. All of these cases, achas yavama, achas layavam echad, it's the same thing whether it's one yavama and one yavam. The achas shtei yavama is layavam echad, or it's the same thing if you have two yavamas and one yavam. All these cases apply. That after a beer or after a chalitza, there's nothing. After a beer, which accomplishes yibum, or after a chalitza, which is chalitza, then there's nothing more to talk about. Kesad, also maimer bazu. So what does that mean? It says two yibamas. If he did maimer with one and then maimer with the other, tzurchas shnei gittin v'chalitza. Then you're going to need. So this part of the Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rav Gamliel, because according to Rav Gamliel, if you did maimer with the second one, it doesn't matter. But according to the Chachamim, that Maimer, Acha Maimer, is effective since you did Maimer with both of them. Tzrichas Shnei Gittin v'Chalitza. Now each of them is going to need a get in order to break the Maimer, and one of them is going to need Chalitza. At least one of them is going to need Chalitza in order to pass herself and her Tzara, because you still haven't broken the Zikah Mederaisa. Maimer Bazu v'Get Lazu. If you did Maimer to one woman and a get to the other one, the problem is the get you gave to the second one passed the Maimer you did to the first one. Because again, midrabanan, you're on this lo yivna now. Therefore, tzricha get v'chalitza. Therefore, the one you gave the maimer is going to need a get, and one or the other of them is going to need a chalitza. Maimer bazu v'chalitza bazu. He did maimer to one woman, and then he did chalitza to the other one. Harishana, tzricha get. Then the first one is going to need a get in order to break the maimer. The zika you've broken by the chalitza, but you need to break the maimer. Get lazu v'alazu. If you gave a get to one woman and you had relations with the other, which you were also to do at that point, because giving a get to one makes them all also to you. So we could get the chalitza. So the one you did ve'ilah with, though, since midaraisa it was effective, then you need a get, and then you also need chalitza. Get lazu v'cholat lazu. If you gave a get to one and then you did chalitza to the other one, ein acha chalitza klum. Then after chalitza, there's nothing else, and nothing else is needed. You don't need to do anything with the one you gave a get to. Chalatz v'chalatz, if he did chalitza with one woman and then chalitza with the other, a chalatz v'asa maimer, or he did chalitza with one and then maimer with the other. Nasan get or val, if he gave a get to one and then he had relations with her herself, a baal or baal, or he had relations with one and then relations with the other one, which the second one is asa midaraisa, because ba'is echad. I bav asa maimer, or he had relations with one and did maimer with the other one, or nothing get v'chalatz, or he gave a get to one and did chalitza to the other. In all those cases, ein acha chalitza klum. Then after chalitza or after yibum, as the case may be, there's nothing else. Bein yavam echad l'shtei yavamis. All of this applies whether it was one yavam and two yavamis. Bein shnei yavamim l'yavama achas, or whether it was two yavamim, what two men and one yavama. Chalatz v'asa maimer. What happens if he did chalitza with one, and then he did maimer, and then he did maimer? This is going back to the case. We have one yavam and one yavama. So he did chalitza with the one yavama, and then he did maimer with her.
The same one.
Nothing get the ball, or if he gave her a get and then he had relations, a ball v'asa maimer, or he had relations and then did maimer, but nothing get the chalitza, and then he gave a get and did chalitza, ein acha chalitza klum, then there's nothing after chalitza, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'saif. And this applies whether the chalitza was at the beginning, the middle, or the end. What do we mean by the beginning, the middle, or the end? We mean, in other words, there could be different orders in which he did these things. Rashi explains that the middle would be, for example, you gave a get to you gave a get, then you did chalitza, then you did maimer, and then we're saying einacha chalitza klum. You gave a get
to one woman,
then you did chalitza to the other one. And then you did maimer to one or the other of them. So it doesn't matter. The chalitza is it. Once the chalitza has been done, then nothing else is effective. So therefore, you don't need a get for the maimer. Be'ila, but that when it comes to be'ila, when it comes to doing yibum, v'zman shi v'tchila ein acharei aklum, only if it's at the beginning, meaning that it wasn't preceded by a get or chalitza, then ein acharei aklum, nothing else is needed after it. But enso v'saif yesh acharei aklum, but if it was done in the middle or at the end, if you did it after get or not maimer necessarily, but after chalitza, or yeah. Then yes, acharei aklum. Then there is something after it because you still need a get. You still need a get or chalitza, as the case may be, in order to break it. Reb Nechemia says no. Achas beilah ba'achas chalitza, bein metchila bein beemtza bein b'sayif, ein acharei aklum. Doesn't matter beilah or chalitza. Either way, as long as a beilah was done at some point, or as long as a chalitza was done at some point, nothing else is needed afterwards.
Regardless of the order.
And then the Gemara, we'll talk about later what exactly Rav Nechemia means by that. Is he arguing about many of the cases in the Mishnah, or is he arguing only at the end of it, or is he arguing only about certain specific ones? So, the Gemara starts off, Ad kan le pligi, ele beget acha get or maimer acha maimer. Okay, what's the machlokes, Rav Gamliel and Chachamim, is only if you have, like we said, you did one get to one woman and then another get to the other woman, or one maimer and then another maimer. That's when they're arguing that Rabbi Gamliel is saying that the second one has no effect, and the Chachamim are saying it does. But there's no question, if you give a get to one Yavama and a Maimer to the other one, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, it would have an effect. My timer, now why is that? The question is, actually, my timer, Omer Rabbanan, get B'Yavama Mahani. Why B'Chalal do the Chachamim say that a get is effective by a Yavama? Minatoda, the only thing that breaks off the relationship with the Yavama is Chalitza. Why Bechla? Well, the Chachamim is saying that if you give her a get, that it has any effect. The reason is Mishum de Mahani Ba'alma, because everywhere else in life, a get is effective. By a regular married couple, a get is effective. And therefore, you're concerned that people are going to confuse things. De'iyamat loy Mahani, if you were to say in this case of a Yavama that a get is not effective, whereas everywhere else it is, Amri, people are going to think, you know what? Get lahitziya v'chalitza lahitziya. You know what? You have two different kinds of things that talk to a woman from her spouse or prospective spouse or whatever. One is a get, one is chalitza. Umi de get lemahani. People are going to think, therefore, that if a get is not effective by yivama, chalitza nami lemahani. They're going to think that chalitza is also not effective. People might end up doing bia after chalitza, which would be an isur lav. Asher lo yivne. So because of that,
they would be doing bia because they think it's not effective.
Because they think. You did chalitza, it's a big deal.
Big deal.
The same way as they would think if you gave her a get, nothing happens, and you could still do bia. They're going to think, okay, so you did chalitza, you can still change your mind. They're not going to realize that there's a difference that a get is not affected by yivama and chalitza is. How about my time Omer Rabbanan Maimer Yivama Mahani? Why did the Chachamim say also that Maimer is affected by yivama? Again, Midaraisa, the only thing that's kono yivama is actual bia. So why did the Chachamim make the concept of Maimer in the first place? Similar idea. Mishum de Mahani Ba'alma, because everywhere else Kedushin is effective. And again, Di'yamat Loi Mahani, if you were to say in our case over here that Kedushin are not going to take effect, Maimer is the Kedushin over here. If you were to say by Yavama and Yavama, that Kedushin, regular Kedushin, Hareyach Mekudeshesli, does not take effect. That is the Maimer. If you were to say that there is no such thing as Maimer, that the only thing by Yivama is Bia, and that's it, that there's no Kedushin, no Maimer, the problem, but everywhere else it is, Amri, people are going to think similarly. Maimer Liknus or Bia Liknus. They're going to think, you know what, normally you have, there's two kinds of things that are kind of a woman. You have a Maimer, which means Kedushin, everywhere else, by a regular married couple, and you have Bia by Yivama. People are going to start thinking, since Kedushin, which is Maimer, is not affected by Yavama, Bia Nami Lemahanya, then Bia also is not necessarily effective in making her his wife. And then it may happen that he'll have relations with the other woman after he did with the first one, which then he's over on Bia Sachad Rabbeinah. So far what we have is once we say that a get is effective by Yavama, then that makes it. Now people realize that once you, just like chalitza makes it also to you from now on, a get also makes it also to you from now on. That way there won't be any confusion. And when it comes to the bia, similar idea. When it comes to bia and maimer, same idea. Once people realize that maimer is effective, that once you did maimer with one, then the other one is supposed to be off limits to you, people by the same token will realize once you do bia with one, that means the other one is off limits. Okay. Well, my time of Omer Abanan bia psula yesh acharei aklum. Okay, why did the Chachamim say that if the bia is possible, meaning that it took place after a get, then then yesh acharei aklum. We're saying that you still need to do something after it. Yesh acharei aklum, rather, meaning that if after that you were to do mimer or get or whatever, it would have a certain effect. Why is that? Amri, because they said, the yeshiva light said, because people are going to say, because there's two possibilities. What do we mean bia psula? We mean that the bia is taking place after something that should not have been done. Either get or minor. So wait. Be after Maimer actually is the Mishnah that said that's a valid way of doing things. But what we mean is, in other words, that what we mean we want to make sure that people realize that people realize when Bia is going to be effective at making her his wife versus when it's not.
Are we talking about Bia Psula means
Bia Psula means that you gave a get to the woman, and then afterwards you did bia with her or with her tzara, or it means you did maimer with one woman and then bia with the other. So why are the Chachamim saying that bia psula yesh acharei aklum, that if after that you were to still do maimer or get, that it would have an effect? The reason is Amri. So they said like this: what kind of bia are we talking about? E bia achara geti. If we're talking about a bia that with one woman that comes after giving her or her tzara a get, then the reason we did that is zera biacha get mishum biacha chalitza. We don't want that people should simply, just like we said before, that people might confuse get and chalitza. We don't want people to think that after chalitza you can do bia. That would be also deraita. Because of that, we after also not be after, but because of that, we say that if you do bia after get, then also we're still going to consider it for in some ways a kosher of bia and in some ways not. Therefore we're going to say that there still can be maimer after it, but therefore we're still going to say you need a get.
Midrabanan,
obviously we're talking about midrabanan. The e bia acha maimer he, and if you're talking about a bia which is after maimer, then the reason why we say that we did maimer with one and then bia with the other one, why do you need to do both a get and chalitza? Gzera bia acha maimer, mishum bia acha bia, because otherwise people might confuse. Were you doing bia with Rachel after maimer with Leah? People might confuse it with where you did bia with Leah and then you're doing bia with Rachel, which is also daraisa, and therefore they don't want to allow it. Well, my time, Omer Abanan, Hay Chalitza Psula Ein Acharei Aklum. Okay, so why is it that the Chachamim say that if you did a Chalitza Psula, then Ein Acharei Aklum, that even if at that point you do Mimer or Get or whatever, that it has no effect? Why is that different than Bia? Bia, we're saying that even a Bia Psula, but if you do Mimer after that, it still has an effect. If you do Mimer with another one of the wives, it still has an effect. Why don't we say the same thing with Chalitza Psula? The reason is, Amri, because they said, my Ligzer, what kind of Zeta do we need to make? Nigza chalitza achar get mishum chalitza achar chalitza. Should we make a gzera that if you do chalitza after having given a get, that there should be a problem with that because you might confuse and you might think you can do one chalitza with one woman and then chalitza with another woman? What's the problem? Kokihani tachlitz v'tezel. Let them do as much chalitza as they want. Once you do chalitza with one, that's it. The chalitza with the other one has no effect at all in the deraita. So there's no, unlike with bia, where if you do bia with one and then bia with the other one, you're being over on bayis achad rubayna. If you do chalitza with one and then chalitza with the other, you're not being over on anything. So there's no reason to be good. Ligzer chalitza achamayim mishum chalitza achabia. Should you make a gzera that if you do chalitza after maimer, that it should be a problem because you might confuse it with doing chalitza after bia? What's the problem? Also, chalitza achamaimer milay baya get the mam. All right. After all, if you do chalitza after maimer, you do in fact need a get for the maimer. We don't say that the chalitza completely takes away the maimer. By the same token, chalitza achabia nami baya get the biyase. The same thing. If you do bia with one and then you do chalitza with the other one, then yes, you're still going to need a get for the one that you did bia with. So there's nothing to make zeros per se about chalitza, because we've covered all possible cases. Either you do need a get anyway, or there's nothing to worry about. Yes.